Welcome to another episode of Tech Bytes, brought to you by The Gateway. And as always, I'm here with my co-hosts Amin and Biagio, talking about everything technology.
So Biagio, which one do you think is best, Python or R?
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, at this point is not anymore a good question. I think for many years, like we were saying, like Python versus R, which one should we learn, which one we shouldn't learn. But I think nowadays, if you want to become like a data scientist, especially like for those our listeners that are when I go in the data analytics space, you kind of need to know both, right?
Right.
For example, like I like a lot R, and the reason why I like a lot R is because I find it very intuitive, especially if you're learning like with the tidyverse package and the tidy models package. I find it's very intuitive what it's trying to achieve. The syntax is not too cumbersome and so on and so forth, right? So I think if you are a beginner, and you are somebody like me that comes from a non-technical background, I find it pretty easy. And I find it pretty easy to teach and less intimidating, probably. Like, again, this is just my perspective. And I know it's been created by statistician, starting from the S language, then the R language. So, it's going to be able to do good analysis and statistics. That's what I think, right? And this is the main tool I use most of the time. But then, when I was doing my PhD, especially, I took classes where they were teaching Python. And for some tasks, I think Python is superior. Like, again, back then when I was doing my dissertation, I had to gather data, right? Online reviews data. And the way to go was to scrape them. It was the easiest way to do it, right? And R at the time didn't have anything close to like beautiful soup in Python, right? And and so I had to say, okay, I need to go in Python and do that part in there, and then do the analysis in R, because again, I was doing text mining at the time. I know all the library for doing that. But again, if you can complement the strength of the two, and I'll ask in a second, which one you like the most and why, I think you're gonna put yourself in a better position compared to your competition, because many people, I would say 5 years ago or 3 years ago, were saying like, oh no, I just code in Python or I just code in R, and now it's completely different. People realize that you kind of need both, and you need to leverage the strength of both. But let me ask you the same thing. Which one you think is best?
Well,
if it is a good idea.
I question. Agree. It's not a great question at this point. I mean, they answer different needs, right? But I am biased, as you know. In my undergrad, we had this professor who was supposed to teach us two courses. First one, programming, second one, advanced programming. And it was his choice to teach whatever language he wanted. He picked C++. We were very upset because Java was this new shiny thing at the time. And everyone knew that could do everything that C++ does, and it was easier. C++ had this complicated memory management that is manual, and that was automated in Java. It was, of course, much less efficient, but it worked. So this professor insisted that he needs to still teach us C++, and he taught us C++ for both courses. And the only reason he gave us was, if you learn C++, you can learn any other language in a week. And he was right. So that's why the advantage of R being straightforward and easy to use compared to Python, which of course Python is also much easier to use than C++, and it's like they're kind of in the same level in ease of use, but I think people with less programming background are more comfortable with R. That's what I've seen.
And I think No, I was saying, I think you also raised a really great point, right? Because you're talking about like pure programming languages, and they also depend on, you know, what is your career goals, right? And what is, so like, which one should you start first
And
or focus
Python,
more, right?
exactly. And Python is coming from pure programming sources. So this is the attempt of people who program with much harder languages to make it easier. It's not like R that statisticians try to develop a programming tool for statistical analysis and then added programming capabilities to it as needed later. This was supposed to be an easy to learn programming language, basically a layer on top of C++. And it's Python is actually a program itself written in C++. And that's one of its main advantages, that why people like me, based on the research I do, uses it, because you can even write C++ code in your Python script. And
Yeah.
if you use, for example, some certain libraries like NumPy, in terms of hardware performance, it's no different than C++ arrays. So that is a huge, huge advantage, because it's an efficient programming language for computational efficiency. That's why it's the preferred programming language for deep learning these days. But I'm not sure. I think, of course, R would have deep learning libraries as well, but the level of participation and open libraries in Python about deep learning is basically anything that comes out in the like the research community. There is a Python library short while after. And what I will tell you is they have attempted to make Python as easy as R. And if you want to do simple tasks, most of the simple statistical analysis and other handling data, you can generally do it easily. But when you get into like complicated things, new algorithms, development of those new algorithms, it becomes as complicated as a little less complicated, but almost as complicated as like writing it with Java or C. So that those
I think.
differences.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that is it. That is it.
No, I think you're right. I think like even in my mind, like if I don't have the majority of my need when it comes to research and the data analysis, literally, you know, running model, cleaning the data and stuff like that. But if I have more needs towards like developing, I will definitely invest more time in you know, improving my Python skills. I think that is the standalone. When it comes like nowadays, like even if you look at the job posting, if you go more towards, you know, data scientists, data analysts, you can see R or Python. But if you go in another more like a technical, like developers, you only see Python probably, right?
That's true.
Because you're right. But I also think what we're talking today is something else a company have realized, right? Because what I don't know, like if maybe people know, but RStudio was probably the best IDE for R, right? Instead of having just the R software, you have an IDE that makes it looks nicer and more intuitive and more user friendly, and the whole company rebranded completely, I think, a year and a half ago into something called POSIT, which is not anymore saying like, oh, okay, we only focus on R and you should only learn R. But because they were probably tired of, you know, Python versus R conversation, and they say, okay, we now enabling and we focusing on all the open source, right? All the open source languages.
I wasn't aware
So
of that.
yeah, you can even do SQL and other open source in it, right? In the RStudio IDE, it's still branded RStudio, but it's part of this POSIT. And in fact, I think in this direction, they realize that, for example, RStudio, while they keep developing new ways on creating files, for example, they launch a new one. They have R Markdown, in which you can already embed some Python code with R code, but they developed something called Quarto, which is really super cool because you can create dynamic reporting and combining the languages. in it, which
Wow.
again it goes to along those line of you leverage your strength, right? So if my first part is I'm accessing the data, and Python is superior in that I can do in Python, and then I can go and do, because I know very well the tidying and the cleaning of the data in R, I can go that part in R, right?
Oh, and they
And
can
so
share local variables and
yes,
stuff. Oh, wow.
it,
That is very.
yeah, because you create the data set with the Python code that scrapes, right? For example. And
Yeah.
then the next step is your R code. And again, I didn't try it because I don't scrape anymore as much as I do. But my understanding is you can literally put chunk of code in Python and chunk of code in R in the same document, and then you can make it dynamic. So you know you
Wow.
can change the variable. You can code it in a way that you don't have to manually say, "Hey, there are 7,000 observations now." You can put length or whatever it is, right? Stuff like that. And I think that's game changer. And I think after this move, now they are capturing and bringing in also the community of Python. In fact, they hire some outstanding developers of packages in the Python world to start working on POSIT as well, right? Because of course they were
Yeah.
very advanced in R because they've been doing
No,
them forever.
I
Yeah.
really admire them for pulling that off. That is difficult technically to do, but it's very valuable and it was worth it. They have that's an amazing tool that you are mentioning. That's similar
Yeah,
to
and they,
Python allowing C code inside its script, but this is allowing R code inside Python or vice versa.
even my even SQL, so and some
Wow.
others. I didn't try all of them. I think you can do C++ as well. I think every open source can be using it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty like I'm not sure everyone, but like more than just R and Python. And I was and recently they also released a new one, a new IDE. That is more like this one, RStudio is clearly for the people that start with R, right? So now there is a new one that is called Positron. And this one is more like, okay, you add Python and you want to use also VS Code. I mean, I didn't look into it yet because, again, I'm not such of a user of Python on a daily basis, but something to look at. And I think this is the direction that even company are pushing, because if you can combine the strength of both, I think you are more complete, a better,
Yeah.
and you have all the tools possible to do all the data analysis that you need, or even beyond just doing data analysis.
I
I
think,
think that's the direction.
yeah, I am pleased with that. I think that's great for research community and even industry because we have lots of people that are similar to your position. They have they are focused on R, but they are very familiar with Python as well. So they could really take advantage of both in they don't want to give up the conveniences, they give up their expertise in R, but also they don't want to ignore the possibilities and the features, technical abilities they gain by using Python. This achieves both of them. That's excellent. But as someone who is fluent in Python and I have no experience with R. I've just heard descriptions mostly from you and other colleagues. For me, Python has been completely sufficient to do anything, as you said, because it's a complete programming language. But I'm curious what that kind of tools could offer me, because sometimes I do get frustrated with the programming languages I use when I want to do something that is logically very simple, but I need to write a large script. And I suspect that there are other open source tools that could do that much faster. For example, if you want to do a linear regression in C++, good luck. You have to code it. Then in an open source environment like that, I could just do it with Python or do it with R and add it to the rest of my code.
Yeah, I think
Development.
up to I think they are now releasing new, even new libraries in Python for data visualization, and a few of them are inspired, for example, from ggplot2 in R, which to me is just an amazing way of creating like my student in two classes are able to create pretty complex charts, and they are like, wow. They also look good. They are not just complex, but they also look very good. So it's very intuitive, and easy to explain. So I think they are now also moving those libraries. Still, an attempt to say, okay, if you want to stick to Python, you can stick to Python. And I think they are going to do the same thing on some of the libraries that you were mentioning in Python for example, deep learning. I'm pretty sure they're going to bring something like that in R as well. So if people they want to stick one or another can. In fact, this is my next question for you. Like, do you think that somebody that has, for example, some Python knowledge, but we're talking about knowledge. I don't consider myself to have Python knowledge. I think I learned it in some classes, but I don't use as often to say, hey, show me the code and I can fix it or understand what the problem is. You know what I'm saying? Like having mastery of the language.
You
Do
have
you
some
recommend to have
yeah.
Yeah, do you recommend like, and I'll share my point of view on this. You recommend somebody that has like intro knowledge of Python to start learning R before getting to a more of a intermediate advanced level where you really understand the code and master the codes, or should that person say, hey, I'm kind of like a beginner slash intermediate. I really need to get advanced in Python before even trying to go on the other side and or learn something like the same thing in R. What is your opinion on this?
Well, I think everything that R can do, Python will do, maybe not as efficiently. And by efficiently, I don't mean computational efficiency. I mean by user-friendly. So if someone really becomes a master and comfortable with Python, I don't really see why they would pursue R other than if there is an external reason. But if someone, I suggest if someone wants to do things that R does very well, and what matters to them is how productive they can be with it, I would suggest R before becoming master in Python. But of course, I think it's very beneficial for everyone to be at least familiar with Python. For example, if you need to do something with Python, you should be able to do some Googling and do it. You know what I mean? Even if you are doing something that you haven't done with Python.
Well, then there is the other question of, ChatGPT and how now you can probably don't even need, like, even a familiar
Googling,
level, if you have a good understanding, you don't even need, what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, so, but that's a different point. I have a slightly different take. And again, it might be because of, you come more for a technical background,
Yeah.
and maybe your professor was right. If you learn the hard one, then all the others, you can pick it up in the minutes. But maybe for me it takes longer just because, again, I don't have a technical background like you. I think in my opinion is, okay, let's for example assume I know R, right?
Yeah.
And I have an introductory level. Although in Python I can do some stuff that I can do in R at this moment, I will still make sure that I get to the point where I really understand how to code in R. Because otherwise, you ended up knowing a little bit of Python, a little bit of R, and you are not good in any of them, right?
Yeah, that's not a good spot.
So
No.
having one or the other, I think is sufficient for most of the data analytics jobs. Again, if you want to be on more on the technical side of jobs, developers, I agree with you. Definitely start with Python, stick with Python until you are really good at Python, right? But if you
Yeah.
want to be in the data analytics, data science type of jobs, I think you one of the two is perfectly fine. You as you were said, you can try both. Like maybe take a class that teach Python, take a class that teach R, and see which one comes more natural and easy for you, and get beyond, the foundations, right? Get beyond to the foundation to the point where, like me, sometimes I don't code for a couple of weeks, I can open my computer and okay, that's what I was doing. That's what this code does, and so on and so forth. Like if
Yeah.
after 2 weeks you are completely lost again, you wasted your investment, right? You don't know neither Python neither R. And then you, of course, you are in a bad spot compared to your competition. So my take again from somebody that doesn't have a technical background like you, that learning C++ is enough to learn anything in 10 minutes. But like your professor was saying,
Week, not
my
10,
take
a week.
is, but even a week, like, it's pretty impressive, right? To get mastery of R, it took me a while, right? And I had to keep using it until I really start understanding. And I think I really stopped understanding when I start teaching it, because you had to make it accessible to other people. They have zero knowledge of coding. They find coding intimidating, and so on and so forth, right? So I think that would be my suggestion. Like, if any of our students would say, okay, I'll say yes, get exposed to both, right? Like you were saying, take classes, one that covers R, one that covers Python, and then in one of the two, the one that you find better, even especially given what is your career goal, then really invest the time to go beyond and make sure you are beyond the intermediate level, beyond, like, to a level of mastery. Once you get to one, then you can say, hey, yeah, for example, data visualization is might be easier and nicer in R. I know dashboarding with Shiny before was only in R. Now they pause it. The same company is enabling people to do in Python as well, right? So again, their commitment to kind of avoiding this Python versus R, which one should they use, one or the other? They're probably saying, like, hey, you can do things in both. But that should be your goal. Your goal should be, okay, now I'm good in this one, and then I can go on the other one. I'm not saying not taking classes if you have the opportunity of having R and Python, right? I will say yes, get exposed to both. But you know, when you go beyond that, I still see my students, you know, sometimes they do things and they do them in Excel, right? Things that they can do in R. Why do they do in Excel? Because they are so used of Excel, because they have a level of mastery that is beyond R, right? But you can do the same cleaning in a more efficient, more automated way if you use a programming language than Excel. And so if you get to that point where you say, okay, my to-go thing to do any task is R, or my to-go thing to do any task is Python, then you are ready for me to invest really time to learn the other one. Now I can probably learn Python. I just don't have the physical time to learn everything. And I don't have the need, but you know what I'm saying? Like, now
I
in,
know.
yeah,
That is the
that
point.
will,
If you
yeah.
can accomplish a task you're doing, like I'm talking about someone doing a job,
Yeah.
if you can accomplish a t task by using an easier tool such as Excel, of course, do it. And your employer wouldn't want you to spend more time. They will want you to spend the least resources and time on accomplishing that task. And but talking from educational perspective, yes, I agree that the more data analytics tools you learn, especially these two, Python and R, is very valuable and beneficial for someone's career. And I completely agree that get exposed to both, but pick one and be more than exposed and be almost an expert. And
Yeah.
it's not really difficult to be an expert. Like there is a point where there is this reward structure, this reward mechanism that really makes people obsessed with a programming language. And that's always been true. There is a point when you pass that point, you really like learning more about things that you can do with that language. Reach to that point in one of these languages. And then after that, and the other thing is, you don't need to learn everything. Just learn how to figure out to do things. That's exactly how I program today. And I do for this particular project that I'm doing, I need to do a lot of coding. And they're both in Python and C. And I have tabs open and ChatGPT open all the time. And for things that I have done before. Because I have done something 5 years ago and I knew how to do it then. And back then I Googled how to do it. And now I haven't done it in 5 years. But I know exactly what's possible. So that's what you need to know. What's possible, you don't need to memorize functions or libraries. You can always Google them. If you're a programmer sitting at a computer, So you will have access to those
Yeah.
resources. So that's the focus.
I think you raise, yeah, I think you raise a few super important point that I wanna give you my take, and then I think I have one more question for you, like kind of like to close it up this conversation. But I think you raised two very important points. The first one is never memorize your codes. Like if you don't understand it, you try to memorize it, it will work. And then as you said, 5 years later, you're trying to do the same thing. There is no way you're gonna remember the library, the syntax of the library, and so on and so forth. It's just no way. So that's what I tell my student, like never trying to memorize. I'll change you the data set, I'll change you the variables, I'll give you the same exact thing that we do in class. But if you're just trying to memorize, you're gonna make mistake. There is just no way. There is no way to learn a language like that. You need to understand. If you don't understand, it's pointless. Even after the semester is over, you're gonna lose it immediately unless you keep practicing. Another good point that you mentioned, and again, I think here is not I have a different take from you, but I have a kind of a suggestion, because I was doing the same, right? I was also pretty good in Excel, and when at the beginning when I was learning R, and even in other classes when I was learning Python, my tendency was exactly like my students, right? I know how to do in Excel in 10 minutes. Let me do it in Excel. Why? Because I was better in Excel. But I think if the first time that you do the same thing in R, it takes you 2 hours, which again, then there is the third point that you make about ChatGPT, and I'll say in a second. The first time you've taken in 2 hours, but then you're gonna be able to do in 1 minute, 30 seconds, right?
That's true,
I mean, for how good Excel can be, it cannot be, especially in some tasks, it can be as close as those open source software that we are talking about today, right?
That's
So
exactly right.
yes, today you're gonna take 2 hours because you are not as good as in Excel, but that's what should be your goal. Imagine how fast and effective and productive you can be when you can achieve what you are capable of achieving in 10 minutes in Excel in R, right? You can automate things. In fact, I have the example of one of my actually it's not even a student at NIU, was a student I collaborated on a research project at LSU, and he got this job and is in the finance world. And they of course they use Excel, right? But he started realizing that some of the stuff that he was doing were very repetitive task, and you can do macros and stuff like that in Excel, but he knew R. He invested this time in R, even though he was doing an MBA. He saw the potential, and it could have been Python. I'm not saying again. I think we are past the R versus Python. We understood that both of them can be really good tools, but he start automating things, and he showed his boss, and he got a promotion. Because of that, because they were saying like, "Wow, this is so much time and so more efficient and effective," right?
Of
So
course.
again, yeah, sure, you're gonna do it in 10 minutes now, in 2 hours in now, because you are not good at this point. But then you're gonna be capable to do more because you're gonna have more free time, and people are gonna notice, and people are gonna fish. Appreciate, because those are efficiency in time and cost as well. And then and connected to this is the third point, right? What you say about ChatGPT, and before Google or Stack Overflow, for those of us that were getting the same errors that thousands of people before us get at the beginning, because it's normally to get those errors, it's normally to get frustrated at the beginning, but you are not the first one. Everybody gonna get those errors, everybody gonna go through those struggles. Once you are good, and it was happening even before we Stack Overflow. The first time I look at it, I have to go 10 times trying the solution, never figure it out. I was wasting hour and hour in debugging and into solving problems. And by time and with the experience, it was easier to me to, okay, see the solution and adapt to my data and stuff like that, right? Nobody's reinventing code. Like most of the people that they go in learning R and Python, we are not the first one. We're not going to be the last one. So everybody is a community. That's, again, this is what I like about open source. But I think the key is, when it comes to this, the key is now with ChatGPT, if you have a good level of mastery, then you can be really fast, right? What
Oh
you were
yeah.
doing 5 years ago, you don't remember it, but you can immediately pick it up. And I say when you have a good level of mastery, because I think if you don't know anything, if you are a super beginner and you just rely on ChatGPT, you are making a mistake. I'm not telling my student don't use ChatGPT, but I think if you don't have a good understanding of the code, sometimes it brings you in loops and in spots where you're wasting more time and you're
Yeah.
doing things in a less efficient way. At times I correct ChatGPT and say, like, no, this is not what I'm trying to achieve, and this is the wrong direction. Why? Because I do understand the code. I do understand what it's trying to make me do. I also use it to be faster and more efficient, but because I understand the code, this is a great tool. If you don't know
Yes.
anything, and also if you fully rely on it, one day there is no internet, one day the server is down and it's not working, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
And
you can't.
also your
It's not
boss is
your
gonna
product, it's
replace you
someone
very
else's.
quickly. Yeah, and the boss will replace you very quickly if you just rely on them, because if ChatGPT can do it and you don't add anything to that, then you're very easy to be replaced. So again, and I don't want to talk about AI today. I have one final question for you, and this is kind of controversial and provocative, and you can be as diplomatic as you want.
Oh,
But
I you know, I'm never diplomatic. I just say what I
yeah, I
think.
know. But so when I started at the university, and not only NIU, but like even at LSU, open source wasn't always the way to go, right? There were programs like SPSS and SAS. They were pretty much having almost the monopoly in the classroom, right? Do you think now, a student should even spend time in learning them? Or is pretty much the depth, and we should go full open source? And again, you can be diplomatic. I have my thoughts on it. I'll try to be as diplomatic as I can on this.
That is controversial. Well, there are lots of people who are
I
invested in it, and they have not literally money invested in it. Institutions have
know.
invested in it, not just time and expertise that they have spent to learn. Well, unfortunately to those people, everything that those tools do are now done by open source, especially. I think there was a point when I'm talking about Python, because that's what I'm most familiar with. They released data science libraries and they started releasing deep learning libraries and then all sorts of other libraries. And these were all based on state-of-the-art methods that have been developed. And like you could go to documentation of these libraries that are widely used in research and see the research paper they're based on. That is amazing. And none of those tools that you have that, you know? And they are paid and they are they don't the way to use them is specific to them. Open source, like basically they can have the paid tools. They can have the best customer service, the most trusted experts, but a community is much, much more reliable, because as you mentioned, the mistake you make, it's impossible that you're the first one that has made that mistake. You know what I mean? You can always look. But I also should have probably said this in the beginning. I don't probably am not qualified to say this because I have no experience with those tools. So if you do, maybe you have an interesting take.
No, I mean, so this is, I think, again, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. I think the reason why, especially, I was forced to learn them and I had to learn them in many courses was because back then, I would say even 5 years ago, most company, especially like the large size company, were using them, right? And there was like, for privacy reasons, whatever people they believe, open source was lacking of, right? They didn't fully embrace, right, and say, okay, let's do that. I always saw, like, startups definitely using Python and R, right? No problem, even 5, 10 years ago, right? But you know, I've seen that, and also I think a lot of people back then thought that like coding was complicated, especially in like something to stay very far away from a business school. And again, I don't come from technical background like you, so even my undergrads, my master, and
Yeah.
they were very non-technical. So I do see why, you know, they thought, you know, those are point and click software as well. Like, so it's a completely different way of approaching things. But I think my take on this, and I'm talking as somebody that as I had to teach SAS for the majority of my career at NIU as well, is that while they are point and click and easier to use in terms of, you know, there is no coding involved, there is also like the aspect of, okay, you are dragging and dropping things and connecting things, and logically it might make sense, but you don't see what happened behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, he's run, you have a check mark and stuff like that, but what is really happening is not clear. And in fact, I had actually harder time of teaching them than coding, because coding I can literally explain step by step, argument by argument, what is in there, and they can immediately see between the output and your code what is
Yeah.
happening,
Yeah.
right? So I'm not saying that, you know, they should be completely removed, but I'm definitely saying that, you know, compared to 10 years ago, there is not really like, I think, again, given the IDE that they came forward, and you know, if it is just a blank screen with where you just code, I know it can be very intimidating, right? But we are past that, right? There are IDE that make it look very user-friendly. I would say some of them are even more visually appealing than some of those software that you have to pay for, right?
Yeah.
And so again, so I think they lost that advantage. Now, I think they're also starting to lose that advantage when it comes to large corporations using just them. And some large corporations start switching as well to open source software and programming like Python and R. So then, again, if I want to be honest, and I'll give this advice to my brother or myself, my young self, I will probably not invest time in learning them. In fact, to be honest with you, I was kind of like a pioneer in one of those classes where they ask
Oh,
us to
wow.
learn SPSS. I asked to do all the projects in R, because at the time I was still learning R, and it wasn't a good idea. It took me, you know, three times more the effort and work that people in my class were doing. But again, it was my attempt to get it better in R, so I, you know, the professor accepted it. Yeah, so I don't
Yeah.
know if we are close to their death, but I will, if you want to be, you know, again, if you want to be in data analytics, data science, I will prioritize open source. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's be diplomatic. And I think
You,
this is a perfect closure
yes.
for today conversation. And we'll definitely can dive in more and bring some other people from industry to talk about more about the, you know, the strength and what they are using, how they're using it. But yeah. I think this was great. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.